His Hands and His Feet, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Dear sinner, dear doubter, dear skeptic, see His hands and feet. The forgiveness of my sin lies in the hands and the feet of the crucified and risen Jesus.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift during the Easter season. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during the 50 days of Easter.
We don't want to start stacking the saints up on top of each other so that you have this dog pile of saints to climb up to heaven.
We say, oh, so-and-so died.
Wait a minute! Look at it the other way around! God the Father took a precious child to himself to show to them the riches of the kingdom that he had in his heart for them from before time began.
When we pause and think about it, what would we expect to happen if we killed God's son? That he would stay dead?
And the proof that he loves you is he's willing to send his own son to the cross to not only bear your sin, but my sin and the sin of all people, that we could be forgiven and holy in his sight and live in his love forever.
In about 20 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. You heard just a snippet of each of the four that we're going to play for you in about 20 minutes. All you need to do is listen and then vote for Soundbite of the Week. Whatever reasons you have, agree, disagree, like, find it remarkable, you vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943. You can email us your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can Twitter us your vote, @issuesetc, or leave your vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to talk about Gaia worship as we come off of Earth Day, there are some connections there. On this Friday afternoon, April the 23rd, Gretchen Pasentino, co-founder of Answers in Action based in Costa Mesa, California, and a regular guest. Gretchen, welcome back.
Well, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be with you, and I'll tell you, what a day for Earth Day. I've been in the northwest of our United States this last week in Oregon and Washington, driving through wilderness areas, saw a gorgeous waterfall just a couple of hours ago along the Mackenzie River. We're sitting in the high desert outside of Sisters, Oregon, looking at these snow-covered mountains and the high desert chaparral and trees and everything, and you would think that this would be the place for a leftover hippie from the 60s to worship the earth. But this is a place for me to worship God. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And I look at all of this grandeur, all of this beauty, so many things that show the wonder and the majesty of God. How can you see these kinds of things and not think that God has created this and that God has given us a responsibility to care for it, to appreciate it, to worship him? This is, you know, the earth is not God, as the Gaia worshipers would believe. God is not in everything in the sense that of a pantheism or God is everything and everything is God. God has created everything, and we worship him for his mighty power and glory.
So who or what is Gaia supposed to be?
Well, the word Gaia comes from the Greek language, and it simply means the earth. But, of course, the Greeks, in their philosophical and polytheistic culture, for every element in the world, whether it's earth, air, fire, water, they would give it a name that was not merely a descriptive name, but also the name of a god or a goddess that they would worship. Today's Gaia adherents or Gaia enthusiasts, some of them would call themselves worshipers, are those who believe that the only reality that exists is the material world, and that the material world is somehow all of one substance. And the more we try to differentiate or distinguish things in this material world, the more ignorant and the less real we are. In that kind of a view, at very best, humans are part of this one divine element that we call Earth. At worst, we are parasites and ought not to continue to exist. We're somehow ruining the God that is the Earth.
So in this, and it is albeit a very small association with Earth Day, this is essentially not just that God is in him we move and exist and have our being, as Paul would say, that this is the earth itself is a god to be worshipped.
Yes. And, you know, I was thinking as we were sitting in Little Sisters, Oregon, a little while ago having lunch and reading the local newspaper, and there were ads for Earth Day and a little article about Earth Day. And, you know, the local yoga center was offering a special discount for Earth Day. And I'm thinking, on the one hand, they think that the Earth itself is God, and that humans, as I said, at best are only part of the Earth. At worst, we're parasites on the Earth. But where do you come up with advertisements? Where do you come up with intelligent, idea-communicating newspaper articles? I'm getting a little philosophical right now. But, you know, we're driving past fields full of cows and horses. You know, we've seen some deer and some other wild animals. I don't know of any animals that communicate to each other in intelligent language. I don't know of any animal that could come up with the great biscuit filled with wild blueberries that I had for my dessert this afternoon. Recipes don't exist in the animal kingdom. Written communication doesn't exist in the animal kingdom. There's something about us that is different, that is intelligent, that is rational, that is moral. We ought to take care of the Earth. Animals don't think about, I ought to take care of the Earth. A cougar is not going to say, I ought not catch that rabbit and eat it because it would hurt the rabbit. That kind of moral, rational, intelligent, spiritual awareness is only in humans, and that's because we're created by God and created by Him to reflect His nature and His mind, to worship Him, to serve Him, and to care for and appreciate His creation.
How strong an association is there between what we've been talking about here, the Gaia worship, kind of the full-blown worship of the environment as a deity, and Earth Day and legitimate environmentalism?
Gee, legitimate environmentalism, that's a very interesting term. Well, let's not have an argument about it. Let's just say this. It is one thing to appreciate and admire what God has created, to feel a sense of moral responsibility to care for and maximize the potential of everything that God has blessed us with. It is quite another thing to mistake God's creation for God Himself. There are many people today who think it's ridiculous to believe that a man rose from the dead, walked on water, changed water into wine, multiplied loaves and fishes, and forgave sins. But they see nothing ridiculous about bowing down and worshiping a tree, or about thinking that they themselves are parasites on the earth and that we ought to have zero population growth and erase our footprint from the earth so that the earth can blossom. In my opinion, if you've got the first worldview that I've described to believe in, or the second worldview, I'll go for Jesus Christ every time. The resurrection of Jesus Christ tells us, promises to us, proves to us that God's plan for us, His creating us in His image and destining us to be fulfilled in Him, in His fulfilled kingdom, renewed, made special in His eyes, that's far more reasonable, far more rational, and far more hope-filled than to either think that I'm a parasite or that I'm nothing other than a jackrabbit or a tree.
When Christians look at the world around us, I think you hinted at this at the very beginning, but how should we regard the world around us, especially with respect to our God-given stewardship of the world in which we live?
In the book of Genesis, before the fall, God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful, to multiply, to cover the earth, and to manage it. And that word in the original means to take good care of, to be responsible for, to husband or steward the earth. In the fall, lots of things happen in the natural world itself, and certainly in us as humans, that made that more difficult to do, and made our efforts to be, in some senses, limited by that sinfulness. But Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8 that the creation itself is groaning in anticipation of the redemption of the whole world through us, the body of Christ, Christians, those who have surrendered our lives, our hearts, and our spirits to the omnipotence, to all the power of God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the resurrected one, who ate the loaves and the fishes with the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee after his resurrection, or broke bread with the disciples in Emmaus after the resurrection, he shows us a little glimpse of what that fulfilled kingdom is going to be like. Many people think that the images used for the final judgment and the renewal of the earth make it seem as though the earth is going to be destroyed or eliminated. But I think that's not true. I think what Scripture tells us is that the greatest beauty that we see in this natural world, the greatest glory of God that we see in the natural world, is only a hint of what it will be like when God renews it and we take our rightful place where our stewardship of the earth is fulfillable and perfect in God's redeemed kingdom. We haven't reached that yet, but Paul promises us in 1 Corinthians 15 that because of Jesus' resurrection, his guarantee that that story will come true, even our work today in this fallen earth is not in vain, he says. Keep working hard every day because our work is not in vain. When we are in Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit enables us to do what we could not do in ourselves.
Gretchen Pasatino is our guest. When we come back, a couple more questions for her about Gaia Worship and Earth Day. She's co-founder of Answers in Action based in Costa Mesa, California. You can join us with questions or comments on this Friday afternoon, April the 23rd, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Twitter us at issuesetc. After our conversation with Gretchen, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We await your votes for Soundbite of the Week. We have four to play for you, and after we played them, we want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. You can listen to those sound bites in advance if you like at our website, issuesetc.org. Now, when we come back, if the worldview of radical environmentalism that worships the earth as a god views us as parasites, what would that worldview produce in human society? We'll be right back.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Do you find the book of Revelation to be discomforting, discouraging, and downright difficult? Well, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a lay-friendly commentary on Revelation. It's titled Concordia Popular Commentary, Revelation. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Concordia Popular Commentary, Revelation by Dr. Lewis Brighton. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
One woman's abortion addiction draws attention to a more widespread problem.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In a book entitled Impossible Motherhood, Irene Villar says she was an abortion addict and claims to have had 15 abortions. Such a story is tragic, not only for the woman involved, but according to Tom McCluskey of the Family Research Council, it also shows the failure of the abortion industry, highlighting what little counseling they do for women after one abortion, let alone multiple. And, he says, the pro-life movement must fill that void by creating programs such as Silent No More to counsel post-abortive women.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Gretchen Pasentino is our guest. A few more minutes with her on this Friday afternoon talking about Gaia worship, Earth Day, environmentalism. She's co-founder of Answers in Action based in Costa Mesa, California. And she joins us from the high desert, which is, I mean, if I had to look out on a landscape every day, it would be that, Gretchen, that kind of stark majesty there. I am envious, I have to admit.
Oh, I tell you, Central Oregon is absolutely gorgeous. And you look at the lava beds and you see the ominous power of destructiveness and that black lava. And then you see the snow-covered mountains around us. We're in Sisters, Oregon right now. And you've got the three peaks, the Sisters around you. And we're up here in the high desert looking at a million different shades of gray and green. What majesty of God there is. How could anybody look at this and not believe in God? It just takes my breath away.
Okay. If there is someone who holds a worldview that includes Earth as mother, we as parasites, or at the very best, kind of living symbiotically upon this goddess. What does that worldview produce by way of society, do you think?
Well, let me give you just a short example. You and your listeners know that Answers in Action has been supporting a chaplain in the Army deployed to Iraq for the last 10 months. Part of the reason we're up here is because he and his son, who was serving with him, arrived back in the States last week safely and were reunited with their family and with us here in Bend, just a short way away from here in Bend, Oregon. And yesterday we were sitting in their living room and looking at some slides that Chaplain Shane brought back from Iraq. And there are these strange mud towers all around Saddam Hussein's palaces in different parts of Iraq. And they were created to house bats so that the bats could kill the mosquitoes so that nobody around Saddam Hussein's palaces would get malaria being bit by mosquitoes. Now, in a very undeveloped country, in a very poor country, you can only try to attract bats to kill mosquitoes. You can't develop anything more sophisticated to take care of the problem. There were many parts of the world at the beginning of the 20th century where millions of people were dying from malaria and other mosquito-borne diseases. Human technology devised a number of different substances, including DDT, to eradicate these bad mosquito infestations around population areas and nearly eradicate malaria. Then, during the rise of the hippie era, my teenage years in the 60s, we said, oh no, everybody has to be natural. Technology is bad. We banned so many substances that had saved so many millions of lives that some of these diseases came back, including malaria. Now, I'm not saying that we should sterilize all our rivers with great infusions of chemicals or anything like that, but as humans, we can develop technology, we can develop substances, we can develop procedures that can manage the earth so that we have the liberty to live in healthy lives so our children can survive infancy and grow up. And we don't have to build mud towers for bats, which is a very ineffective way, but at least it's better than nothing to get rid of the mosquitoes. We can get rid of the mosquitoes in another way, with the full-on Gaia embracing the earth and everything natural and rejecting anything technical, anything developed, anything chemical. What we're really saying is the potential of humanity should be denied while the potential of the earth should be unrestrained and unmanaged.
Gretchen Pasentino is co-founder of Answers in Action based in Costa Mesa, California. You'll find a link to Answers in Action under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Well, you go with my envy, as I say, and enjoy your time there in the great Northwest. Gretchen, thank you.
You're very welcome. And while we were talking, my husband picked some sage, some wild sage. I'll stick it in an envelope and send it to you. It really smells great.
Oh, that's very sweet of you. Thank you.
God bless you.